It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
Yeah, I'm Brittany Hughes. Welcome back on this beautiful Wednesday again.
Another beautiful Wednesday here, and the lizards are running up and amok around
what, the
Virginia.
Lizards?
Oh man, you don't have lizards at your house?
I don't know. Maybe we do. I haven't, like, I don't know. Maybe I've just been working too hard. I'm not, like, out scouring for lizards. What the heck do you do all day?
Well, no, they're just about more than ever before. The blue-tailed skinks. And true story, one got in the house, and my wife wanted to make sure it got out of the house. And I said, well, it wouldn't be the biggest deal in the world. I don't think they eat our food or anything. They kind of eat bugs. And she was curious, so she asked Siri what a blue-tailed skank eats.
Mm.
And I said, it's a skink.
And I hope she didn't hit Google image search, because I don't know what that would have pulled up.
I said, I'm curious, you know, are we talking Oscar Mayer wieners? What came up here? And hot dogs, perhaps. And lo and behold, she just went, ooh, no, not going to that website. Not going there. But it was quite humorous, actually. It did get a chuckle. Skinks, skanks. But yes, the skinks are running amok in Virginia. Also running amok on the internet. Our previous versions of the MRCTV podcast. You can check out past episodes on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, and we suggest that you do. But today, it's kind of like an old video game. It's the Sims experience. Representative Brian Sims, a state rep from Pennsylvania. Oh boy, is he all over the news for being pretty much a bully.
Oh, absolutely. Among other things that I can't really call him here or really anywhere. I try to be polite. This guy is just top of the line jerk, though. I mean, and if you're on Twitter, you've probably seen
high quality
the video going around.
Top shelf jerk. Top shelf. You're going
like
up.
He's the patron of buttholes. Really, that's what this guy is. He has reached new levels of jerkitude. So... look, so this is the guy. He's a Pennsylvania state representative, in case you've never heard of him, because, you know, unless you live in Pennsylvania, why the heck would you? But he represents the 182nd district of Pennsylvania. Lots of districts in Pennsylvania, apparently. But he filmed himself. So this is not like other people catching him on camera. No, he's proud of this. He filmed himself on two separate occasions openly harassing pro-life women on the street in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic. And in one occasion, he was harassing a group of young teenagers. In the other occasion, he was harassing a lone elderly woman standing by herself. So we got a real tough guy on our hands, this one. Just, you know, just all kinds of courageous. So brave.
And he was going after the elderly woman. I believe she was just praying in front of
the
Planned Parenthood.
Like, they weren't holding signs. They weren't screaming at anybody. They weren't on tape trying to talk to people out of abortion or anything. They were just praying in front of a clinic. That's
so this public servant is now a public master of women. He's a white man that's decided he can master women and tell them exactly where and where they should not be praying, I guess.
I've got $100 for anybody who will identify any of these three. So I'm going to donate to Planned Parenthood. I'm going to donate to Planned Parenthood. So look, a bunch of white people standing up in front of Planned Parenthood. They're shaming people. There's nothing Christian about what you're doing. Nothing Christian at all about what you're doing.
Well, you know, just another white guy telling women what they can do with their bodies. Oh, wait! I thought that was not supposed to be the liberal side of things, but apparently it is. It's to see, and the rules completely fly out the window. Isn't it interesting that if you're a liberal white male politician, it's totally okay for you to harass women on the street and film yourself doing it? And by the way, we should clarify.
Telling women what they can do.
Exactly. Telling women what they can do. Now, on a women's issue, by the way, because again, I was given to understand that this was an issue that only women were allowed to have an opinion about, the whole abortion
thing. And here's a question.
I'm
going to bring this up. He's an LGBTQ champion. You can make of that what you may. But I'm going to say, you know, if I'm told as a white male that I should have no opinion on this, that's what I'm told by those on the left, I should have. Should I not have more of opinion than a gay man? Because at least I'm involved in procreation on some level. You know,
Eric
I have a track
kids.
Record there. You know, I'm just saying.
Eric does have two kids. He's involved, y'all. He knows how this works. And look, if you know, and that's the thing, is I find it interesting. There were a couple of points that I thought were just wild in this video. The first is when he films himself harassing these teenagers. So it was three young ladies, all of whom look well underage. I would guess probably about 16 or so. And they were praying in front of this Planned Parenthood clinic. It was just three girls and an adult sponsor. I don't know if it was somebody's mom or church group leader. I don't know who it was, but it was an adult woman there who kind of tried to, you know, step in as Sims was shoving his camera in these people's faces. And he started offering money to anybody online who could expose the identity of these three teenage girls. I mean, these are minors, and he's offering money on Twitter for people to expose their identity, and he's still on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's still out on Twitter.
Nothing like the lawmaker that encourages people to get, teenage girls to be harassed on the internet and have their personal information put out there. That's, like you said, you know, he's kind of a top shelf jerk. I mean, wow, you got to really be extreme. Now, the best was all this came out. There was a lot of publicity. You did a story on this from RCTV, and this went everywhere. And so he decided, basically, that he was going to apologize. And of course, some say the apology is really because a bunch of pro-lifers said, you know what, we're really sick of this guy, so we're going to hold an event there on Friday, which is coming up later this week. We're going to hold an event right outside this particular Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia because he brought a lot of attention to it. And Planned Parenthood probably went, that might not be something we really want. But his apology is not an apology. It's basically, you know, well, two wrongs don't make a right, and I'm better than that. Let's take a listen.
Last week, I wasn't a patient escort. I was a neighbor and a concerned citizen, and I was aggressive. I know that two wrongs don't make a right, and I can do better.
So there you have it. Oh, well, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. It's not really an apology. He never actually says, I'm sorry.
Well, and he never backtracks from you know, saying that he was just trying to stand up for women's right to choose and all this, which, again, I think is, going back to his original video, is really interesting, because if you notice, he tells the one woman who was the older woman who was just standing there praying by herself that, you know, she was standing outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic protesting people's constitutional right to do something. Says the guy who was standing outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic protesting somebody's constitutional right to do something. So he never apologizes for basically questioning people's First Amendment right. He never apologizes for, threatening to dox underage teenage girls, which, as we all know, is incredibly dangerous in today's social media environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he never apologizes for those things. It was kind of a sorry, not sorry, but I think it's sort of a way to sort of slime out of having to show up on Friday, because this guy was called out. You've got hundreds of pro-lifers who say they're going to show up on Friday. It's being led by Matt Walsh is going to be there. Lila Rose from Live Action is going to be there. Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood director, is going to be there. Lots of big name people showing up saying, hey, look, if you want to come shove cameras in people's faces, why don't you pick on somebody your own size instead of just teenage girls and little old ladies? Why don't you show up and confront us? And this was a kind of way I think of, you know, not having to do that by saying, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have done it quite like I did. Well, but oh, by the way,
you said you're sorry.
I think I was right.
You said I'm sorry, though. He never said that.
He didn't. It was about the most half-hearted apology, if you even can call it that I've ever heard. It was so weak. And I'm probably going off about this issue, but as I'm telling you, as a pro-lifer, and particularly as a woman, this ticks me off just beyond belief. It absolutely ticks me off, because the hypocrisy here is so incredibly strong. This didn't make any news headlines at all until it started going viral on social media. And even then, we haven't heard about, you know, CNN's not holding expert panels on it. You've got a guy harassing young women outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and nobody cares. Can you imagine If a white Republican lawmaker were harassing pro-abortion women outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Or, you know, say a white teenager with a MAGA hat.
At a pro-life rally, of all things. I mean, we saw that just a few months ago. You had a white teenage boy in a MAGA hat at a pro-life rally, and all he did was smile at a Native American man, and that made headlines for days. He was a bigot. He got called names. He got, his school got bomb threats. He got death threats. He's having to sue now over it. But this guy can threaten to dox teenage girls online, and Twitter doesn't take his account down. Nobody says
anything.
Well,
you know, it's not as vicious as a parody Ocasio-Cortez account. You know, those parody accounts that clearly say they're parody, those have to be taken down. Well, you know, if they're on the right. Devin Nunes's cow is still allowed to tweet, so that's important. Like to hear from Devin Nunes's cow.
Devin Nunes is he's got a cow, he's got a mom, he's got, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on with Devin Nunes's parody accounts apparently. Yeah, but you got a million for Donald Trump, and all of those are still up.
Unbelievable. All right. Also, wishy washy. Besides Mr. Sims' apology, is Planned Parenthood's take. You know, while they don't condone, I'm going to read this quote. While we do not condone Representative Sims' approach, our patients deserve to have access to health care without, you know, shame and stigma. And then they go on, they're upset about the bills in Pennsylvania, the abortion bills, and they decide that they're actually going to call him, you know, we thank our champions. He's a champion, including Representative Sims, for their unwavering opposition to these bans. He's a champion. He looks like a champion. He acts like one, too. Really.
Well, and that's where you kind of want to, you know, judge one person by their actions. And that's something that I've often said and criticized people for is, you know, using the bad actions of one person to sort of lump everybody in together. But when you have groups like this, the left has welcomed with open arms and said, yes, this represents us. This is a foundational part of our platform. This is who we back. This is who we support. And they come out and say, well, this guy is our champion. You're taking ownership of him. You're taking ownership of his actions and saying that you condone what he's all about. At the very least, you didn't come out and condemn it. You just kind of said, well, you know, maybe the pushback on that wasn't so great, so we're not going to say we liked that. But they didn't come out and strongly condemn it. So I have to say, if that's going to be your reaction, you deserve to get lumped in with what he did. The left and the abortion industry is perfectly okay with doxing and threatening teenage girls and old ladies for expressing their constitutional right to have an opinion contrary to theirs about abortion. They're okay with that. They've stated as much.
And here's the real question. Does the champion show up at the arena on Friday at 11 o'clock when all the pro-lifers
get
there outside the Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania, which is in Philadelphia? If you'd like to check it out and participate, you are more than welcome. As Brittany mentioned, you know, Matt Walsh, Abby Johnson, a lot of people are going to be there. MRC TV is going to have a camera down there. We're going to be going down to the event. So it'll be
at 11 a.m. At 11 a.m., everybody should know.
At 11 a.m., and, you know, so if people are interested, please go. Our cameras are going to be there. But will Mr. Sims, will Champion Sims be there? Is there a bet? You know, can I place some money on this? There's going to be a site somewhere that's going to let me put money on this. Not that we encourage gambling in any way, shape, or form at the MRC.
Nice plug. I like that. I'm not sure who would actually bet on him showing up. I guess kind of like the guy that bet on Tiger Woods winning the Masters and ended up making out like a bandit. It's kind of like that. Like I'm not seeing him show up because I think that his courage, which is basically, just cowardice masquerading as some, you know, beta male farce stomping around with an iPhone. But I think that that's relegated to people that he feels like he can intimidate and he can pick on. And I think even beyond that, if I can kind of, widen the scope, I think that that is incredibly indicative of the abortion industry in general. They prey on people that they feel like they can victimize. You've got poor women, desperate women, women who don't know where else to turn. And when you see them have to put their arguments, their baseless, unscientific arguments up against people who know what they're talking about, who understand the science, who understand the biology, and who understand human rights, when you put them up against somebody like an Abby Johnson, who used to work for them and understand how this works, their arguments completely fall apart. So I think that Sims really is a really good representative of the abortion industry in general. They pick on people that they feel like they can intimidate and feel like they can control, but they're not going to go after somebody that they can't. They're not going to go after somebody who knows what they're talking about. I don't expect him to show up. Absolutely not.
Speaking of people that don't know what they're talking about, let's talk about a recent CNN segment where one of their fine panel guests decided that, you know, babies in the womb aren't even human.
Where does CNN find these people?
You gotta look. You gotta search. You know this. You know something about this particular individual.
This is a special kind of stupid right here. So this is Chris Cuomo, who doesn't know his own head from a hole in the ground, and he's supposedly there to sort of, I guess, moderate or whatever a debate between Rick Santorum and a woman named Christine Quinn, who's a CNN contributor. She is a former speaker for the New York City Council. Her claim to fame is that she was the first woman and the first openly gay candidate to hold that office. Other than that, I'm not really sure what else she's done. But she's on CNN as a contributor. And this is what she had to say about unborn babies.
When a woman gets pregnant, that is not a human being.
So they're not human. She literally says verbatim, if a woman gets pregnant, that is not a human being. And I kind of want to know, what is it? Like, is it a puppy dog? Is it a sea urchin? Is it an azalea bush? Like, what is it if it's not human? I'm 34 weeks pregnant right now, and if this is not a human, that kind of freaks me out. Can somebody please let me know what it is?
What exactly is that in your belly? What's going on there? If it's not a human,
I've got pictures of him that he looks an awful lot like a human to me.
Talk about the science deniers. Could it be worse than pro-abortion Democrats? I mean, seriously, what does the DNA show? Oh, that from the moment of conception, that it's definitely human with its own identifiable human DNA. Is it a being? Let's look at it as the positive and negative. Is it something that's taking in nourishment and growing and taking in energy and growing? Yes, it's actually being. Wow.
And is there like magical like fairy unicorn dust in the birth canal that like magically shapes it into a human on its way out and it just poof becomes one? Like when does it become a human if it's not one in the beginning? Is it one in the middle? Is it one? This right here, this is so laughably anti-science. I mean, we're not even, and here's the part that I really appreciated. So Chris Cuomo got some pushback on this. The entire segment is much longer, and it would take us several minutes to play the whole thing. But he just gets into it with Rick Santorum just going off about, you know, when this thing becomes a human, and even if it is a human, that doesn't necessarily mean it has rights and blah, blah, blah. And he got a lot of pushback online for it, and he actually tweeted something after the segment, and he says, and I'm going to quote here, he says, the pro-life position is more about faith and feeling than fact. This is the guy who just had a woman on his show who he agreed with who said, when a woman gets pregnant, that's not a human being. How in the world is that about fact?
Well, it's just about as much of a fact that Chris Cuomo, you know, considers himself a journalist and not a liberal advocate and not a liberal activist. Because frankly, that's what it is. That, you know, he just tweeted that out. He's not interested in reporting facts and letting people decide.
As we get into more and more of a post Roe versus Wade world, not post as in it's been overturned yet. But as we get further and further away from that decision, now almost 50 years past it, we understand so much more about the science behind life, about childbirth, about pregnancy. You cannot deny these things anymore. And I think young people want facts. They don't want platitudes. They don't want, you know, this faux victimization. They want facts. And I do believe that that will lead to this being the generation that overturns Roe versus Wade.
I am really very, very hopeful for this younger generation, especially on this. But there's moves going on now. You mentioned the heartbeat at 6 weeks. Let's talk about the recent bill, what's going on in Georgia. Much, much to the chagrin of Alyssa Milano, you know, the star of Who's the Boss, and well, not the star, but the child star from Who's the Boss. And she was in Charmed, and I don't know, she did some other stuff, I guess. But
I don't know. I haven't seen her in forever other than on Twitter running her mouth.
And now she doesn't want people to work in film. People to work in Georgia. Georgia has been a wonderful place for the film industry who wants to avoid the high taxes and setup of California. You know, they go shoot in Georgia, but now she doesn't want them to shoot there anymore because Governor Kemp did something really awesome this week.
I don't know which thing bothers her more, that she didn't get her way or that nobody gives a crap. To me, if I were a Georgian, I would just say that was two for the price of one, really. Like, you get to save babies and you get rid of Alyssa Milano, which I think is fantastic.
Alyssa Milano won't come here anymore. Yay!
That's
really
that
what they were clapping
win.
When Kemp signed the bill. They were, you know, the pro-life thing was good, but no Alyssa Milano in this state.
I think that's great. So look, first of all, I don't know what bearing this is actually going to have on Hollywood, frankly, because they tend to make decisions based on money, not on morals, because they don't have any. But this was a really awesome thing. It was a step in the right direction. Of course, as pro-lifers, we understand that life begins at conception, but the heartbeat bill is a huge step in the right direction. It would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, which is just common sense. If we say that a person is dead after their heart stops beating, how in the world would we say that they're not alive when their heart starts beating? So, of course, what I really appreciated about Governor Brian Kemp is he knows that this is going to be challenged in court. It has been challenged in other states where it has been tried.
Yeah, five other states, I think, have a heartbeat bill.
They do, and they've been challenged by the abortion industry. I know that Ohio is going through that right now. So he knows that it's going to be challenged in court, but his exact words in response to that were, "We're not here to do what is easy, we're here to do what is right." And the good thing about it being challenged in court is that these laws are a really great way to push up to the Supreme Court and to ultimately be able to challenge Roe versus Wade, which would fold like a deck of cards if anybody with an understanding of the Constitution were to take a good hard look at it. So
one place that's really interesting too that I want to bring up is the bill in Alabama, and I believe it's still it may have passed the House, but I know it's being debated. It hasn't been before the governor yet, but basically there is no exemptions for rape or incest. They make it illegal from the moment of conception. And the whole point is they want it to be challenged and they want it to go to the Supreme Court. The lawmaker behind it has pretty much said, yeah, I want to bring up the basic question. If it's not a baby in the womb, what is it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And they want that fight. They want the fight. And kudos to them for working for it. We'll see if they get it there. But these heartbeat bills are a less aggressive ways of getting to the same point.
Yeah. And I think, first of all, so in Alabama, the Senate is supposed to vote on that this week. The Alabama Senate is. And Ohio is the same way. So Georgia's bill, these bills differ a very little bit. Georgia's bill does include a rape and incest clause as well as one for life of the mother. Ohio's, I know, does not include a rape and incest clause. It does for life of the mother. Again, one thing I've always said about rape and incest clauses is I think it's really, really important to push heavily on anti-abortion bills without a rape and incest clause. I think those bills are especially important because, again, the circumstances may be completely different. The level of care that a woman may need to receive may be completely different. And certainly we all understand that rape and incest are horrible, tragic circumstances. But the point of these bills is to protect innocent unborn life. That scientific fact doesn't change. So, you know, I know that there are some states that include those clauses. There are other states that do not. They're all going to end up being challenged, but I think it's it is a fantastic step in the right direction. And again, I agree too that a heartbeat bill, while it's great, the ultimate goal is to ban abortion outright. And a Planned Parenthood likes to say this like it's some big secret. Well, that's pro-lifers' ultimate goal is to ban abortion outright. Well, you darn right it is, and I'll admit that up front.
I love how the media reports on it. You know, it seems like the ultimate goal is to get it before the Supreme Court.
Yes.
In attack, Roe versus Wade. That seems to be, they want to chip away at Roe versus Wade. Yep. You got it.
That's exactly no one's what we that want. Fact, the ultimate buddy. Goal. The ultimate goal is to make it impossible legally to kill innocent human
beings.
Might
be a revelation to Chris Cuomo, though.
It's mind blowing to them that anybody would want to stop infanticide. They just cannot wrap their minds around why people might want to do that. So yes, that is ultimately the goal. It is to push it to the Supreme Court, and it is ultimately to overturn abortion completely in all 50 states.
I got some bad news for you, though. You know, with your attitude like that, Alyssa Milano is not going to want to come over to your house for tea.
Oh, man. And here I thought we could paint each other's nails and braid each other's hair. I am so bummed. It's okay. I'm more of a Buffy fan than Charmed anyway. I'm fine.
And with that, good. We wrap up today's episode of the MRC TV podcast. Again, check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify if you have the opportunity. Until next week. And, of course, next week we'll know if Mr. Sims visits the Planned Parenthood pro-life protest outside the Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia on Friday. But until next week, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see y'all next time.